You're listening to A Sustainable World on KCSB 91.9 FM, also streaming online at kcsb.org. And now we're so happy to be able to introduce Margie Bushman and Wes Rowe of the Santa Barbara Permaculture Network. Welcome to the show, Margie and Wes.
And thank you, Jill.
And I know that both of you recently returned from the International Permaculture Conference, the 7th International Permaculture Conference, which was held in Croatia, and which included tours of farms and eco-villages in Slovenia, Hungary, and Austria. And how was your trip?
Wonderful, and we're still excited.
Hi, could you say that again? The mic was a little far away. How was your trip?
Very exciting, and we're still not used to being back home.
And
yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, and it's just amazing the people we met just around the world. Such amazing, positive solutions and such enthusiasm. And it's amazing what the permaculture grassroots movement around the world and ideas and all kinds of amazing stuff. You know, it's just incredible stuff we brought home with us and to share.
And before we start, could you explain to our listeners who may not know, what is permaculture? Because I know we've talked a lot about it on the show, and invariably we get a call and someone says, well, it sounded interesting, but what is permaculture?
And it is a broad subject, and it's as confusing to those of us trying to explain it as those listening. And over time, Wes and I have resorted to, at our exhibits, putting up many different definitions from many different permaculture designers and teachers. And but basically, it's a sustainable earth care system, and it integrates many principles of many different disciplines: ecology, energy conservation, landscape design, urban renewal, architecture, agriculture. It's a synthesis of all these things. And the word itself, permaculture, was coined by Bill Mollison. It's permanent agriculture. He felt that you couldn't have a permanent society or culture without a reliable agriculture food system. And it's gone on to many other things. And we always suggest people visit our website for all the definitions that we've posted there, because, as I said, there are many definitions.
And the website is the Santa Barbara Permaculture Network, and it's www.sbpermaculture.org.
And you spell permaculture just P-E-R-M-A-C-U-L-T-U-R-E, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And how did, Margie, how did you find your way to permaculture?
Well, Wes and I attended a permaculture design course in 1997 with Bill Mollison in Ojai, California. And from that, we came back to our community committed to becoming community organizers. Other people come back and they're teachers and they're designers. We thought that being a community organizer was the most important thing and what we would do best.
Mm-hmm. And what we did then is started to organize a bunch of workshops, speakers, book tours, co-sponsoring with many different organizations in our community, trying to kind of bring permaculture so that it was a mainstream word in our community. And over the last 7 years, we have done many, many programs, from eco-villages to permaculture, workshops,
videos,
everything. So it's been quite an amazing adventure. And from the response from the community, we've had sometimes over 200 people at the Faulkner Gallery show up for our different speakers. And it's amazing how quickly we have connected to all various parts of our community and shared our knowledge.
Well, I know
a word that was not understood or recognized in a very short time, 4 years, is become very mainstream, and people understand it as easily as they do sustainability and other things. And
okay, go. That's fine.
Well, I know that you two are so busy, because almost every event that I am interested in, I show up and there is either Margie or Wes sitting taking tickets. Like, you were involved in so many diverse projects, from Mark Lakeman and the City Repair Project to Starhawk, and it's been really amazing watching how many events you've put on over the years. And since this is a show about sustainability, how does permaculture fit into sustainability? And I know that's a huge question.
Mm-hmm. Where permaculture really becomes beautiful in the sustainability movement, I think, is through its ethics. They're very, very strong. Earth care, people care, and sharing the resources of both earth care and people care. And then the design principles, which give people tools then to look at how they want to design human systems and natural systems in the world. And these principles are amazing. They have a way of looking at each different site and the ability to give you tools to kind of solve problems and kind of look at things in a whole different way that you ever imagined. Both Margie and I took the permaculture course, design course, and we were totally, just first times, overwhelmed, and then slowly beginning to understand how to look at a world in a different way, in a very positive way, too, and having a deep respect of nature and all sentient beings is one of the most strong things in permaculture.
So working with nature and not against it so
yeah.
much.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead, Margie.
One of the best definitions for permaculture is by a favorite designer of mine, Ben Haggard, and his definition is a favorite. It's permaculture, a design system that reconciles human communities with the ecological imperatives of a living planet. And that is what permaculture is best at, is not seeing the environment as separate from humans, and how to create human settlements that are in harmony and, as you said earlier, working with nature rather than against nature.
Are there any examples of permaculture sites in Santa Barbara or, I'm sure, in California?
Yeah, we have some in backyards. No real public site as of yet. Well, yes, there is a public site, excuse me. Monta Vista School. We just, with the school, the kids and the parents and the Permaculture Guild, we have put in an incredible food, we call it a food forest, but they call it, what is it, Margia? A garden? A garden.
Orchard
garden, which is probably a good way of explaining. And this is like, we planted with the school and with the permaculture group called Common Visions. We had a great day of drumming, planting trees. And
yeah, we did a show on that. It was wonderful.
Yeah, and the orchard has, since March when it was planted, it's just become this amazing, amazing garden with food, with trees growing, with lettuce, with kale, with all kinds of native plants. And it's just right now so full of insects and life, and you can walk in it. It's a garden that just allows you to walk in and explore all the different plants, what the kindergarten kids love to do.
So permaculture, basically, then, you can do it in your backyard, like you were saying earlier, or at a larger site as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mark, I wanted to get I think we'll have to have you back on the show to talk strictly about permaculture, but I was very interested in your trip to Croatia, and I'm wondering what it was like, and to start, why was the conference held there? Do you know why? And if you could tell us where it was held and what the conferences are like.
Sure. We refer to it as IPC7. It's the International Permaculture Conference, the seventh International Permaculture Conference. The last one was in 1996, and it was held in Perth, Australia. And this one was very important. It had been 6 years since the last one, and was held in Croatia to bring that part of the world into the picture and to hear from them. Croatia is an ancient country, an ancient civilization, and yet we know very little about it. And it's Eastern Europe, where their economy is now just coming into, they're joining the European Union, and they have all, Slovenia, Hungary, and Croatia are now, they were a former part of Yugoslavia, now they are their independent countries. And it was really wonderful being there. The country is wonderful. We made many wonderful friends, and we were introduced to the Croatian Permaculture Association. But as a result, we also met all the other permaculture people from around the world.
Mm-hmm. And were there many Americans there, or any other people from Santa Barbara?
We were the only participants from Santa Barbara. We had, I think, three or four other participants from the U.S. And then from the Americas, we also had Mexico, Guatemala, Brazil represented. And the other countries that were there were England, Wales,
Canada, Denmark, France.
Britain, Ireland, Australia, Nepal, the Czech Republic, Austria, Slovenia, Denmark.
Wow. Australia.
Wow. So basically, permaculture sounds like it's happening all over the world.
It is happening all over the world, and sometimes in places that you never hear about. Permaculture goes
like
out
Croatia.
To the world in many different forms.
Was Bill Mollison the originator, one of the originators of permaculture there?
Bill Mollison was there, and also David Holmgren, the co-originator of the permaculture design concept. And many other elders and people who have been in permaculture for a long time were there as well.
Was Bill wandering around in his little sarong and flip-flops?
No, he wasn't there in the sarong, but he was there in his flip-flops. And
he's so cute. But what were some of the highlights of your trip? And I'm just curious, I was looking at a website on the conference, and I'm wondering, did you go to Permalot? Is that one of the eco-villages?
No,
there?
But we met one of the people from Permalot, Max Jensen, and he had a lot to say and a lot to contribute. And he's from the Czech Republic, or that is where Permalot is, and a lot going on there. And we also had some of the other amazing people that were there were Tony Anderson from Copenhagen, and he's done a lot around urban permaculture and eco-villages. Pat Dare from Australia, the past organizer of the previous International Permaculture Conference from Australia. Ali Sharif from Brazil. Peter Bain from the U.S. He's another one from the U.S. in Earth Haven in North Carolina. That's an eco-village. And Declan Kennedy, who we were thrilled to meet, was originally from Ireland, but he lives in Germany now, and he is a person who's also gone from permaculture and then into the eco-village movement. He's had an amazing career. And Andy Langford and Leora Advil from... Andy is from England, and Leora is from Mexico, and now they are coming together with their energies to help form the Gaia University, which will be... something exciting to talk about later. And those are just a few of the people that have been in permaculture the longest, but there were many, many others.
And I read, too, that there was a bus tour that you went on and that you actually visited permaculture sites and eco-villages and farms. Could you tell us about some of those visits?
Sure. We were in Europe for 3 weeks for the conference Convergence, and the first week was a bus tour. The second week was the conference, and the second week was a convergence, and the last week was a conference. And the first week, the bus tour, we traveled four different countries: Austria, Hungary, Slovenia, and then ended up in Croatia. And we saw many different sites. We visited biodynamic farms, eco farms, eco villages, and other things. And one of the highlights was we went to Austria and saw Sepp Holzer's farm in the Austrian Alps, which we've shown many times.
Oh,
in
I think
Santa
I saw
Barbara.
That video. Is that where he is in the freezing cold and he's growing all these amazing fruits and
he's growing kiwis and yeah. Citrus at above in the Alps in
now,
the snow?
How does he do this?
He does this by creating incredible microsystems using ponds and rocks and different kinds of habitat with vegetation so that he can create warm zones or warm sinks where crops can then be protected against heavy frosts. And what he does throughout his land, he's on a very steep slope. He terraces the slope, and he's planted 14,000 fruit trees on the slope.
Wow.
And it's an amazing integrated system of ponds. He has hydroelectric. He's got he uses pigs on the landscape to turn the soil. He has such a humane way of working with the earth. It is incredible and such inspired. It's just an inspired person to be with. We spent 8 hours on his site. He wanted us to stay 2 more days. He said that would take us 2 more days to walk around the place only, just to traverse it.
Wow.
So it's at about 3,000 feet and goes up to 1,400 feet with pond systems. And it's an incredible way to see nature and humans interacting and being designed in a system so that there's a harmony between the two and that we're sharing.
That video was so inspiring. So it must have been wonderful to see him in person in his land.
And we have an amazing statistic for you. He grows 14,000 fruit trees, or he has 14,000 fruit trees growing on that property above an elevation that normally you stop growing fruit trees.
What were some of the other sites that you visited on the trip?
Yeah, we visited some of the new, what they call bio, and it's a different word in each language. It's kind of more of a German word for bio farms. These are nature farms. And this is a whole movement that is sweeping countries like Slovenia, where they look at organics as being the way they plan to enter the European Union. And have small-scale farming, which is what exists in Slovenia, Croatia, and other places, Austria and Hungary. So they want to preserve this. And so the way they look at it is organic is an incredible way. And they've already started. They have been planting this way for centuries. They have an incredible intercropping. They farm at a very small scale with small machinery and have an incredible diversity. And when you walk along their roads, in many of the countries, they're not sprayed. So they're just this living area of plants and animals and an incredible forest. Slovenia has the most forest cover of any country in Europe. So you can see there's amazing, amazing resources. And it's still in places, all these small farms.
Wow. So no Roundup is clearing out the roads of Slovenia.
So far, it's pretty amazing. There's an acceptance of this biodiversity, and it goes right into their hay crops. They use a lot of, they raise a lot of animals, so they are constantly harvesting hay at all, and incredible slopes. And they sometimes, you know, so steep, you see them up there cutting it with scythes. But there's this incredible thing of collecting all this hays for the winter, which is in some of the areas is really cold the winters, so for their livestock.
And I've heard that Croatia too is a lot like Santa Barbara as far as its climate. Did you find that to be true?
We were in a very beautiful part of Croatia called it's the Istrian region, and one part of that is along the Adriatic Sea, which is Mediterranean. It's right across from Italy, and it is. It reminds you of the south of France or Santa Barbara. It is a Mediterranean climate, although it gets a little colder than we do, I think, in the winter. It's exquisitely beautiful, and we were thrilled to be there. Our conference itself was held in a small hilltop medieval town, and it probably the town, I'm not sure the population, but it's very small, but it was just beautiful. It was Motovun, and we would definitely suggest that people, if you're traveling in that area, stop or make sure that you consider Croatia as a place to visit. It's a very, very beautiful place.
And Margie, what was one of the highlights of the trip for you? Like, what was one of your favorite parts?
Well, I'm not sure the highlights of the trip, but I was thinking about the bus tour, then the convergence, and then the conference. And each one was distinct and separate. The conference was organized so that all the people from the permaculture world could gather, exchange ideas, let each other know what they were doing in their part of the world. But the most exciting part to me was the conference at the end, the last week, and in the end it turned out to be only 2 days. But it's where the young Croatians talked about what they were doing. The conference was designed to speak to the world, to be more public and tell the world about permaculture. There's press conference. And also for the Croatians to let us know what they were doing. And I don't think many people had to go ahead and leave before the conference. And I think some missed it. But we were so impressed with what they're doing. And they have... they have something called, they have a permaculture eco-village they're getting started, but there's also something called BioIstra, which they're developing an agro-tourism department, I think, and that is to help farmers to be able to remain on the land.
Yeah, and this idea was to bring tourists and people in Croatia to come and stay on their farms in, you know, almost like a bed and breakfast, but then to be integrated into working on these new organic farms that are being created in Croatia at this time. It's quite an amazing thing. We got to stay on one of them where we camped for the conference and Convergence.
For those listeners who may be, who may not know what an eco-village is, could you give like a definition of that?
Yeah, this is a good one. I wish I had this little write-up that was written years ago about it. An eco-village is a community designed, usually a lot of them are designed by permaculture designers, and they're designed so that the site reflects the total, so that humans in nature are designed so that they interact and create a harmonious place for them to exist. And this integrates both human and natural systems. So that's one thing that you know, we've heard about communes and communities. Well, eco-villages takes it to the next step. It designs it so that nature is just as important as human beings in the creation of a village for humans to live in.
And what, Margie, you were talking about the bus tour. Do you want to say anything else about that?
Well, the bus tour was a week long, and we never knew where we were going, and we're still reviewing where we've been. And I think I was still suffering from jet lag, so I was. It was a good place to
snooze on the way.
Snooze, and then just wake up and find yourself in a new place. And that was an interesting thing, where there were probably 60 people on this tour, and traveling together all day, all night, sometimes 9 hours on a bus before getting to the next place. And we had accommodations anywhere from a barn. One night we slept out in a barn, and some even in the hay. And then on to other places. In Hungary, we visited an emerging eco-village, and the Gesa, I don't remember his last name, but he is incorporating into the work he's doing. He has a retirement home, and we were put up in that location, which ended up being very luxurious. And we didn't know night to night where we would be. Again, visiting Austria and Sepp Holzer's place was the highlight for me. Being in the Austrian Alps, I lived in Switzerland for a year in my 20s, and I loved being back in the Alps and seeing that. We visited in Slovenia a virgin forest, and a person that was in charge of that was very, he loved the job that he had, and defending the forest. Is that what you would say?
Yeah, really showing the importance of a mature forest with virgin trees. And his heart was so much, it was incredible. We sat with him for a while he talked about being in a virgin forest with all the huge trees, and how in Slovenia there still is forest like that, and how he's working so hard to make sure that's preserved, and that the magic of going into those forests will remain for eternity. So these are the kind of people, just people with such heart, we ended up connecting with.
Like both of you, too.
And we visited an artist who is doing, he feels very strongly about the way art is going and some of the toxic materials. So he's taking his art to another direction where he considers the work he does in nature art, and he considers that art doesn't need to be permanent, that it can be temporary. And we also visited traditional village in Croatia, and it was the aunt of one of the organizers of the Croatian of the whole International Permaculture Conference, and they had a system in place that went back for centuries, and they showed us that and let us know how it worked, and that also was a highlight, I think.
Yeah, and one of the things that wasn't there in place anymore, there once was a canal down through the center of town, and the houses were quite a distance from it, so that the canal looked pretty big. And this community was known for its ducks, and so they were raised in this canal between all the traditional houses. And these were like compounds that contained barns and everything else, and stretched back from the community like a traditional village with areas to farm behind the housing and with the animals in there. And one of the things that really surprised us is that they tend to confine their animals. And when we talked to some of the older people there, they said that they had a history of animals being rustled, as we would say in the United States, but stolen. And so this could have been hundreds of years ago, but in the culture itself is still that you have to protect your animals because somebody might steal them. So it's interesting that these animals, we were looking, going, why aren't they outside? And they said, well, somebody could rustle them. So it says how in your deep memory, how things last over centuries.
And in past times, the tradition was also a collective effort where they would, Wes was talking about the geese or the ducks, and they would, one family compound would bring the animals out the front and then herd them down the whole length of this canal, each adding as they went along, and then in the evening being brought back to the separate compounds again where they would be more protected.
Mm-hmm. And Wes, I think you mentioned to me that you were at the conference as a representative of the Permaculture Credit Union. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was there to update the international community about the Permaculture Credit Union, which had formed 4 or 5, in 2001. And so we hadn't been at any, the international conference was in 96, so that this was to bring to the community what we were doing with permaculture and finance. And I was able to make a presentation and see what's going on in Europe with financial institutions, and also encourage the permaculture community around the world to think about setting up an institution like ours so that we have an earth-based financial institution that works with the principles of permaculture and also is guided by the ethics. And that's a very strong thing for us. And the website for the Permaculture Credit Union is pcuonline.org. And I was able to really make some great connections. And one of the most incredible ones was with Declan Kennedy of Germany. And his wife is working on and has been involved in something called, her name's Margaret Kennedy, and something called complementary currency. And keep an eye on this, because this will be kind of the next step beyond just local currency. This is a regional currency that has an economic value, and I could go into long explanation, but I won't. But just to put you kind of notice, keep an eye on this. This is growing very, very big in Germany, and the eco-village and permaculture movement is slowly moving it around the world. So it's part of our whole thing of connecting people, regions, and resources, and circulating the money within a region. And this is to counteract the whole globalization, because if you put regional money with value that people can exchange products and services and keep the money flowing again and again within the regional economy, it so enriches the area. And this will be transformed throughout the world. Just keep an eye on that.
And Wes, what exactly, if someone wanted to get involved in the Permaculture Credit Union, are there prerequisites or what? How would they do that?
The Permaculture Credit Union is what we call an association-based credit union, one of the first in the United States. We've been in business 5 years, and what you can do is if you believe in permaculture, the other one is if you belong to a permaculture association, And another one is that you've taken a permaculture design course. So pretty much it's open to anybody, and which is pretty remarkable. And we now
Do you have to take the design course? Is that part of it? Or
no.
If you believe is enough?
Yeah, you believe in the ethics.
I do believe in permaculture. I do.
We'll let you swear on Bill Mollison's manual
but
right
not
after
on the air.
No. Okay.
Go through the blood oath on Bill Mollison's face.
Yeah, right. Oh.
So basically, if you believe in permaculture, and what would you do? You just, it's like a bank, but it's...
It's a credit union. Uh-huh. And so it's membership owned, which means each member has a vote. And what we are, and you can start off at $50 or $5 and a $5 membership charge one time. And then you can put your, you know, any amount of money in up to $100,000. And all that's insured, the regular bank stuff. But the neat thing is like you'll know that your money is being put into all kinds of projects around the United States. And one of our pioneer programs, which we were in our second year of operation, we were honored as one of the 10 green financial institutions in the United States.
Wow.
After 2 years in operation. And that was through something called our sustainability discounts, which we gave discounts for people. For cars, this is off the prime, for cars, landscapes, housing, and it was all based on, the sustainable discount was based on how you did your what you were going to do with the money and how it affected the earth. And that's one of our really, really big programs we have in the Permaculture Credit Union to kind of really push people into thinking about when they borrow money, how they use it, and then we'll reward them. By discounting the prime for them.
That's amazing. That's so inspiring.
Yeah,
That sounds great. And what about, Margie, could you tell us a little bit about your work in Santa Barbara, if there's any other thing you wanted to say about your trip to Croatia, too, as well?
Well, one thing we want to let people know is that the next international conference will be held in Brazil, and we're very excited about that. It will be in May 2007, and we will be a part of the organizing efforts for that. We'd like to really suggest that people go on our website or keep that website handy for updates on that, and also for all the events that we do in Santa Barbara. We do many, many different things. We do lectures and workshops. We do eco-film nights. We do book tours where we bring authors who are writing about sustainability, permaculture, and natural building. We do road trips, and we also have monthly meetings where we organize it as a video discussion group, and
there's really good food too.
And we have food, and we have a monthly newsletter, and all of that information is on that website. And we our next monthly meeting is July 15th at the Community Watershed Resource Center at Arroyo Borough Beach.
Is that Hendry's Beach?
Hendry's Beach. And that one will be seeing videos on natural building. We're sort of having a natural building extravaganza. And we'll be talking more about our trip to Croatia for those in our group who haven't heard yet about the trip. And we're kind of reporting back on that. And those meetings start at 6:30. This one's on a Friday. Usually they're Thursday nights. And then as far as other events coming up, we have... David Holmgren, the co-originator of the permaculture concept with Bill Mollison, coming to Santa Barbara August 2nd. And he'll be here for an all-day workshop. And then also an evening lecture. And we'll also have Bill Rowley and Larry Santoyo, two other premier permaculture designers and teachers, will be here that same day. And also Doug Richardson from Santa Barbara City College. He is the... director for the Environmental Hort program there, and they'll be co-sponsoring.
Yeah, and what the program will be is an all-day workshop, and David will starting at 9 o'clock, and David will be talking about permaculture around the world. He'll be opening the morning talk, and then in the till 1 o'clock, and then the afternoon we'll have all the rest of the speakers coming on and break out into sessions. In the evening, we're going to have a talk by David called Permaculture in the 21st Century, And this will be an open, you know, this will be at 7 o'clock at the Santa Barbara City College East Campus at the cafeteria. It'll be a $15 donation or what we say, you know, to help. And this money will be used to raise funds for the Santa Barbara Permaculture Network, the Permaculture Credit Union, Santa Barbara Environmental Hort Department, and the SBCC Student Sustainability Coalition. So this program is a fundraiser for us, too. And nobody will be turned away for lack of funds. But the idea is to raise money for all these organizations. The workshop will be right now, we're supposed to be July 1st. It was $60, then raised to $80 following. But what Margie and I have decided to, since we're just getting into now publicizing it, that we've left it open till July 8th for $60 for the whole day workshop. And this will be on a Tuesday, August the 2nd. So
that sounds really great. And it's one, isn't it one of his only, David's only Southern California appearances?
It is his only Southern California appearance.
And what, let's see, Wes, you were mentioning something about Gaia University. Would you like to talk about that a little bit? Or?
Yeah, this is, with each permaculture convergence, this is a gathering of all the ideas and things and positive solutions that are happening around the world. And one of the great things that we were introduced to is a university called, a new university that is going to be accredited around the world. And in all kinds of different countries, it's going to be what we call Earth-based university. This is really a university that supports all the different, permaculture, eco-village design, eco-psychology. It's going to expand to cover many, many areas, and it's going to be focused on, I think, and I'm just learning a lot about it as I'm, as I'm going, because we're introduced to it, and it will be all focused around things that pertain to being, let's see.
Like permaculture principles and eco.
Yeah. And it is a strong, and it comes out of the permaculture movement. So there'll be degrees, actually, masters and PhDs and BAs. And it'll be a kind of like you call a work experience university. So there'll be a lot of, you can stay in your community and study and then have mentors. And they've got quite a system of mentoring. And this is just an amazing and a very reasonable cost. And it will be accredited here in the United States and in different parts of the world. And one of the things I'm really happy about is that it will allow regional centers of education to set up in eco-villages and stuff where the mentors are located. And so that you'll have these what I call learning centers all around the world. So it's quite a thing that's kind of unfolding. We'll keep you posted to that, and you can actually go to find out about it by going to GaiaUniversity.org.
And Margie, would you like to say anything else to wrap up today, like anything about the tour or your work here in Santa Barbara, or maybe what your vision is for Santa Barbara in the coming years?
I think what I'm hoping for more in Santa Barbara is to have more teachers, local teachers, emerge. And we've been doing a lot of events in the past, bringing outside speakers and designers that have been around a long time. And I'm always, this last year, really promoting that we do more skill building and that we do more self-teaching. And that we even, Wes has talked about this as well, that we have a regional conference here. We were very impressed with the other parts of the world, England, Australia, that have these strong permaculture associations. And in Northern California, they have strong associations. We've done a lot in Southern California, but we haven't really formed an association structure, per se. Those would be great things.
Mm-hmm. And Wes, what about you?
Oh, I just love it that we are moving and integrating into many, many parts of our community. We're working with a group with City College. We're working with Reverential Ecology, the students, sustainability movement here in the City College and in the university. Permaculture is about interconnections, and that's where our strength is. And so as we go into the future, we are looking to put on more programs and slowly integrate permaculture and permaculture ideas with the broader community, which we've been doing for years. So we look forward to doing more of this stuff, and we've got more programs coming up in August too, Eco Village stuff, and coming up in the new year. Keep an eye out. You can look in the newspaper sometimes. It's listed there if you don't go to our website and you don't get email and stuff like that. So our website is sbpermaculture.org. And our phone number is 805-962-2571 if you want to call us about our programs. Okay, thank you.
And is there a way that someone could get on a mailing list or an email list with you, with your group?
The easiest way is to go ahead and email your email address to us through the website. You can do that through the website, or you can call. And I just wanted to reiterate what Wes just said, that what we find most valuable is connecting with the rest of the community, not seeing permaculture as a separate thing. And some of our most recent projects are the ones that we're the happiest with, where we had the site preparation for the orchard garden at Monta Vista School, and then the Cobb building, the three-day Cobb building workshop that we did with the Santa Barbara City College students for sustainability. And we were a part, the community was very much a part of that as well. We love that. We love developing the intergenerational part that's allowed us to do with the students, and also connecting with the community.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, and we have to have you back and soon so we can talk more about permaculture.
Thank you.
And if you have any questions or comments about today's show or any calendar events that you'd like us to mention in future shows, please send an email to sustainableworldradio@earthlink.net. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock, and thanks for listening. The preceding program was brought to you by the Public Affairs Department at KCSB. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KCSB-FM, the Associated Students of UCSB or the UC Regents. If you wish to respond, please address correspondence to General Manager KCSB-FM, P.O. Box 13401, University of California, Santa Barbara, California, 93107. This is KCSB-FM 91.9 in Santa Barbara.